Mr. Tasky. The Antic Files. Episode 15.
Welcome back to another episode of The Antic Files. I'm your host, Wade, and this episode features Antic Magazine number 15, which is December 1983, volume 2, number 9. The subject is Buyer's Guide. It was 148 pages, cover to cover, and there are 74 advertisers. Price was $2.50 and $3 Canadian. The cover for this issue is a medium gray in color with light gray Atari Fuji symbols patterned all over at 45 degree angles, kind of embossed, if you will. From the bottom left to the upper right is a multicolor ribbon cable stretching across much like gift wrap. In the center, the ribbon cable is fashioned into a bow with each end dangling and having a black connector. In the upper right, there is a light green diagonal strip with red text that reads Buyer's Guide. The Antic logo is red with a white shadow, and the prices are in the upper right. The barcode is in the lower left. Have you wondered what the barcode numbers are? Here's an example. 0744701272812. Looking back at the previous covers where the barcode appears, I found that the last two digits change with the issue and match the month number. For example, issue 10, or volume 2 number 4, was 07 for July. Issue 11 was 08 for August, etc. So here we are with December, and it is 12. Looking at the ads, right up front is the classic two-page ad with the 600XL and the 800XL titled Introducing the Atari XL Home Computers. We made them smart enough to know you're only human. This ad features a picture of Alan Alda, the Atari spokesperson. There are several paragraphs of information, with one dedicated to the introduction of the Help button. It also features large pictures, one of the 600XL and one of the 800XL. Next, BitCards has a quarter-page ad that is primarily monochrome but has some pink accents. It says, "Thrill your friends this Christmas with a gift from BitCards personalized software." This is a personalized greeting card for anyone with access to a micro, and it puts the receiver into their own adventure. Quote, "Christmas draws near. Santa has disappeared from his ice castle," end quote. The player must solve the mystery using available clues. It's not your ordinary adventure game. For example, in a storage room, the player will find a shimmering package addressed to them. In Santa's pocket is a scrap of note signed by the player, and Santa's computer will call upon the player by name to help solve the mystery. It includes graphics, humor, and action. Plus, you can include your own personalized greeting. It's available for Atari, Apple II, TRS-80, Commodore 64, and VIC-20, with varying memory requirements. The price is only $18.50, which is $56.26 today. This sounds pretty neat. Did you know that every year 20,000 Americans are committed to asylum? Screenplay wants you to know this fact with a full-color, full-page ad for their adventure game of the same title. The ad features an image of a long hallway with black and white checkered tiles on the floor with open doors on both sides as far as you can see. This is surrounded by text describing the game, which features smooth-scrolling 3D graphics. It requires 48K of memory and sells for $29.95, which is $94.13 today. Next, the book company has a full-color, full-page ad stating if you own an Atari, you'll want these books. There are four books presented within a drawn image of a computer monitor with details about ordering depicted in the keys of a drawn keyboard image. One book has no charge, which is titled Tips on Buying Software, which is a 64-page booklet that will teach you how to evaluate your needs and find available software. The other books are The Book of Atari Software, 1984, priced at $19.95, which is $62.70 today. It contains hundreds of software reviews. The next book is The Atari User's Encyclopedia, priced the same, which presents, quote, hard-to-find information and presents it alphabetically, end quote. And last is a book titled Atari Graphics and Arcade Game Design, priced at $16.95, which is $53.27 today, and it's aimed at teaching concepts and programming instruction for creating games. With the exception of the tips book, I found these on the Internet Archive, and there are links in the show notes. Some of these are also available on Atari Mania. The next ad is from Novin, which has a full-color, full-page ad for Antica 4. This is a program to help you take advantage of Antic Mode 4 character color graphics. It includes a character editor, multi-character matting, and animator. It retails for $49.95, which is $156.99 today. Next up, InHome Software has a full-color, full-page ad for B-Graph. This is presented in several popular 80s colors, think bright pink, bright blue, etc. And there is a 3D pie chart surrounded by six 3D squares, which each have different charts on them. If you haven't guessed, this is charting software, and it's full of features. No price is given.
B-Graph was just featured on InversoTaskey in Episode 8 of Season 8, where you can hear much more about it.
Next, RAM Computer Center has a half-page monochrome ad that caught my eye. Prominently displayed is a hand of cards which has five aces. Somebody's cheating! One is a spade, one is a heart, one is a diamond, one is a club, and one is the Atari Fuji symbol. It says if you have an Atari, then RAM Computer Centers has the best deals for you, and they have everything imaginable. They're located in Acton, Massachusetts, and have a 24-hour line that you can call with your computer to get their BBS. And the last ad is from IndaSystems, which has a full-page, full-color ad introducing the new 1984 Indus GT disk drive. A flick of the power switch can turn your Atari into a Ferrari. There are several paragraphs describing the drive with titles that are in bold that say, looks like a Ferrari, drives like a Rolls, and parks like a Beetle. It comes with the Porta case, which doubles as an 80 disk storage case. I had no idea it had a name, but I knew it came with a case. And a top-selling feature of this drive is the Synchromesh data transfer, which increases the serial baud rate up to 400% faster. The software that ships with it includes a word processor, the GT Estate word processor, a spreadsheet, GT Albert E spreadsheet, and a database, GT Data Manager, and DOS XL 2.20. And these are collectively known as the GT Driving System. The price, $449 or $1,411 today. Each of the software products, excluding DOS XL, have been featured on InversoTaskey in the past. There are links in the show notes if you're interested in hearing more about them. The first feature is called Inside Atari by Christopher Rauber. This department article is titled Catch On to Computers and is also the name of an event held at the Exploratorium in San Francisco, California, in which a room full of 8-year-olds gets introduced to Atari logo via a tutorial by professional instructors. The event was sponsored by Atari, General Mills, Post Cereals, and was intended to promote computer literacy among children and adults across the U.S. It was hosted by a nonprofit called Computer Using Educators, which is focused on promoting and improving computer use in schools and colleges. Simultaneous to this event, in Washington, D.C., the same event was being held, and plans for 2 more weeks in 8 more cities, including Los Angeles, Atlanta, Newark, Denver, Houston, Chicago, New Orleans, and St. Louis, were all being planned, with an expectation to reach some 50,000 participants. Did you or your parents ever collect Fun and Fitness proof of purchase from Post Cereals? These were exchanged by schools with Atari for free hardware and software from about 2,000 titles. 91,000 schools received the offer, and it's reported that Atari also mailed the offer to 41 million homes announcing it. I don't remember seeing this, and I'm sure my mom would have told me if she received it. Now, don't you wish you'd saved more of them? The next feature is called Starting Line by Jerry O'Neill. This department article is titled Snowflakes. Presented here is a program that draws 12 different types of snowflakes, which are randomized so they don't look the same. And no, they don't float down the screen like a winter scene, but instead are drawn in very large scale on the high resolution screen so you can see them in detail. The basic listing is one page of dual columns in length. There's a splash screen which is animated and plays this sound. There's a small raspberry at the end of the drawing, and as you request the next snowflake, which sounds like this. And there are some screenshots on the website. Who is Jerry? He's a writer and photographic consultant who has been researching computer graphics for roughly 10 years. The next feature is called Logo/Pilot by Kathy and Phil Berg. This department article is titled Turtle Sketchpad. It presents a pilot program that allows you to draw on the screen using the turtle's basic colors, red, yellow, and blue. It uses a player in the shape of an X, which follows the invisible turtle around the screen. Just stay on the screen as bounds checking doesn't prevent you from eventually overwriting other memory locations. The pilot program listing is almost two pages of dual columns in length, and there are some screenshots on the website. The next feature is called Education by John and Mary Harrison. This department article is titled Odd Man Reform. This follows up on the last issue's article and is one of four parts. The article describes how to redefine character sets and how not to waste space doing it. There are two basic listings, one demonstrating the definition techniques used, and the other is a prototype for the Odd Man Out game that will be completed in the rest of the article series. There are some screenshots on the website. The next feature is Holiday Greetings by Nina Franco. This feature article presents a basic type-in program that creates a computerized Christmas card. It plays a tune in four-part harmony and displays the message of your choice. The listing is less than one page in length. Here is a sound clip, and there are screenshots on the website. The next feature is called Autorun.sys by Chuck Hausick. This feature article presents a basic program that will load the RS-232 handler from the 850 and your own basic program at boot time via a custom autorun sys file. The assembly source is also presented. Who is Chuck? He's an electronics engineer who's been involved with microcomputers for over 10 years, and he has a side project where he's modifying an 810 disk drive to be double density. Next up, a feature called More Interrupting by Alan Moose and Marion Lorenz. This feature article dives into programming custom display lists in BASIC. It presents three example programs which demonstrate different graphic modes and displaying more colors than would normally be possible in them. One is just some color bars, the next is three different colors in graphics 2, and the last is a color picture of a sailboat. There are some screenshots on the website. And for the ultimate display list guide, see Rob's Player Missile page on the subject. There's a link in the show notes. The next feature is called Anatomy of a Robot by Evan Rosen. This feature article tries to explain in layman's terms what a robot is comprised of and how you might start building one. Here's a hint, servos. It then explains how you can use the joystick ports to control a servo. It further gives you some basic instructions for controlling the port's PIA chip to make it happen via peek and poke. The article will be continued in the next issue, and Evan is the author or co-author of Valforth. The next feature is Automate Your Player Missiles by Fred Pino. This feature article is dubbed A Smooth Move
X-lax.
If you can make it. The article presents a utility that automatically writes a complete subroutine for moving one or two players via machine language. It needs 24K if you have a disk drive or 16K for cassette users. You merge the program with your basic program, and player control is handled via the vertical blank interrupt to ensure smooth motion. Note that it doesn't handle missiles and is only suitable for small players at a maximum of 10 bytes in size. You can specify movement limits and speeds for the players, and a slew of other pertinent setup options, including the player shape. As you move through the questions, it plays a little spaceship sound like this. The basic listing is almost five full pages of double column text, and an extra page for the assembly listing. There are some screenshots on the website. The next feature is Garbage Collector by Harvey Branch. This feature article presents a basic routine to help clear your strings and arrays. Why? Because Atari Basic doesn't clear them when initialized. This is done in a complex way, which involves manipulation of the string or array's memory address and memtop, then a call to erase routine whenever you need it. Why? Well, you might need it inside a loop to reset a variable before its next iteration. This seems like a lot of work, considering it ultimately does the same thing as a string sub 1 equals 0, a string sub max equals 0, and a string sub 2 equals a string, which is a shortcut we all use to fill an array with a single value. The zeros there would be used for numeric arrays, and you would put a 32 in for spaces in a string. In essence, this will keep the garbage out of your strings by properly setting all elements to an initialized value rather than whatever garbage may be residing in the memory when they get assigned. Clearing your variables before use is good practice, and in today's world, it's almost mandatory. The next feature is In the Public Domain by John Gunther. This department article is titled Worm Squirm and has a bonus called Jackpot by Bill Marquardt. Worm Squirm is the classic game of Snake, implemented in Graphics Mode 1 with some custom characters defined. It moves pretty quick, even on the easiest setting, so get ready. When you hit yourself or the wall, it plays a little sound like this. The Jackpot program presents a classic slot machine. It draws a nice machine and has animation. You can insert between 1 and 3 coins, which animate from your stash on the table to the coin slot. Then you pull the handle and pray as the wheels spin. It plays a small sound as you insert each coin, and another as you pull the handle, and then it plays a sound as the wheels spin. So start practicing before you take that trip to Vegas or Atlantic City. Seems like I've mentioned this before, but when I was in high school, I did write a slot machine program. Mine was all in Graphics Mode 0, using ASCII characters to draw the screen and the machine. It, too, had an animated pull arm and spinning wheels. I would later write one for my Casio calculator, which my trigonometry teacher caught me playing with in class, and then offered to give me extra credit if I would give him the code so his daughter could play the same game on his same calculator when he was at home.
By a loose definition, that was the first software you, quote, unquote, sold.
Check and check. The next feature is Systems Guide by David and Sandy Small. This department article is titled Mission Redo. This is the third part of their mission to create a flight simulator in a short amount of time. This time, they discuss which disk drive is best for a professional programmer. They break 8 drives down into 2 groups, fast and slow. The slow group is comprised of the Atari 810, Percom, the ATR 8000, and RANA. The fast group was comprised of the Corvus hard disk, a RAM disk, the LE systems drive, and the happy modified Atari 810. They cite the fast group as being between 4 and 8 times faster than the slow group, and they explain why a speedy drive is important to a programmer. It also gives a short summary of each drive. I had a RANA and didn't consider it slow, and they don't list anything negative about it other than it's new. I suspect they would add the Indus GT drive to this mix since it has the synchromesh data transfer, which increases the serial baud rate, and maybe that'll be presented in another article in the future. The next feature is called Antic PIX Controllers by David Duberman, and again, PIX is P-I-X. This feature article gives a short summary of game controllers. Among those detailed are the Suncom Joy Sensor, which uses a touch-sensitive dial, way before the iPod. I had asked about seeing a picture of this in a previous episode, and there is a picture presented here. Other controllers are the Wico Command Control 3-Way Deluxe Joystick. This is the one with 3 different handles that I think everybody owned. There's one called the Kraft Joystick. Yep, spelled just like the Mac and Cheese Company. There is the Discmaster Point Master Pro. This one had 4 suction cups on the bottom. Suncom has a second entry called the Starfighter, which looked a little bit small. The Zircom Video Command is another, which is kind of like the Lustig. Then there is the high-score HS-20 Tournament Master, which is like an arcade stick and buttons on a large panel that would sit on your lap, and is reversible for left- and right-handed players. Then there's the Amiga Joyboard, which you stand on and plug a joystick in to for the fire button only. And the Amiga Power Stick, which is designed for small hands. There's also the Questar Control Console, which is a laptop controller about the size of a sheet of paper and uses arcade-style components. It is also suited for both left- and right-handed players thanks to a fire button on both sides of the stick. And last, there is the TG Products Enjoy Stick, which is an improved product that is supposed to be comfortable to hold. But wow, the numerous hard angles on this thing. I can't imagine it being in my hand for very long without it starting to dig in. And the last feature in this issue is called GTIA Sketchpad by Scott Burfield. This feature article presents a drawing program for graphics modes 9, 10, and 11 that supports using up to 16 colors and controls via the joystick. It is written in BASIC, and the listing is about 3 pages of double column text in length. The new products section is absent in this issue. I think it's because the buyer's guide is present, with some of the products listed in the buyer's guide having a new label attached to them. Got a couple of miscellaneous things to mention. First, the annual Antic buyer's guide is included in this issue. Up front, it has the entire XL series of computers, including the 1400 XL and the 1450 XLD. The 1450 XLD includes a speech synthesizer, a 300 baud modem, and a double-sided, double-density disk drive capable of 256K of storage, and there's an empty bay for yet another drive. This is the Unicorn many of us wanted, and it was priced at $999, which is $3,140 today. Yowza! Two of my favorite games are reviewed in this issue, Pole Position and Donkey Kong. They cite Atari's Donkey Kong as being the most faithful reproduction for home use, which left me wondering if they ever actually played the Coleco version. I happily played the Coleco version at my friend's house every time I was over. They do say that the barrels roll differently on the Atari versus ColecoVision, with Atari's being more true to the arcade, because they go diagonal, etc., and a few other details that are different, and maybe that's why. And last is Microscreens, which is in this issue and has 3 images created by readers. The first is of the space shuttle landing, and it's created by Scott Burfield using GTIA Sketchpad that is presented in this issue, and it's authored by Scott himself. The second is a cartoon-like image with a one-man-controlled blimp, like he's pedaling to make it move, etc., and it's created by Stanley Dewan using MicroPainter. And the third one is of prominent facial features of a young child, but very subtly displayed, and it's created by Shireen Pendleton using MicroPainter as well. If you have any story related to one of the products mentioned in this episode or the past episodes, or you just want to talk about the magazine, I'd like to hear about it. Send me a text or audio submission, and we'll be sure to include it. First, I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to thank Zane Little for the track The Cool Factor from the album Another Bag of Chips, which is used in the opening sequence. I need to thank Antic Magazine as well. Thanks all.